Next up, it's Bread and Butter, a culinary chronicle with Tanya Gibson.
I've helped my son grow a garden all summer. While I don't have a particularly green thumb, it's more of a light shade of chartreuse. I can experiment enough to get a taste of fresh throughout the dog days that linger. This summer, with a lot of time on our hands, we sat and made a plan. We had never grown tomatoes or peppers from seed, so those were started indoors early in the spring. I had little hope, watching our butcher paper holders during the last dredges of winter. My son had a lot. May arrived, and we transplanted our speck of tomato, pepper, and cantaloupe plants, and then planted peas, spinach, lettuce, onions, and cauliflower. I cautioned my son that the tomatoes, the four that made it to transplant, would probably not grow. Old seeds, and from seed? My gardening magic wasn't that strong. I underestimated the power of nature, however. Our pea plants took off. I discovered the Green Arrow variety a few years ago. They are simply my favorite. By the time we had pulled the vines in early July, we had a steady stream off several vines. Success! The spinach and lettuce did well and were welcome additions to our salads for several weeks in June, and we are hoping to squeeze in another round before the snow falls. Our onions didn't grow at all, however, and while our cauliflower produced a lovely purple-green base and leaves, we were left without the main event. Our melon plant is going strong, but I'm starting to doubt the fruit will ripen before the season is over, as it seemed to get a slow start. Our peppers didn't survive transplanting at all, which was just as well because, well, our tomatoes did. I'm not certain what I was expecting. Actually, that's not really true. I was expecting nice, normal, manageable tomato plants that would yield a bit of fruit. In late June and early July, I didn't think we'd even get that. The weather was uneven, making growth terribly slow. Sheer laziness on my part kept it in the ground. And then it took its revenge. Our garden box sits about 6 feet from the wall of our home. It's raised, a bit insulated, and gets some lovely reflected heat. Sometime in July, the tomato plants decided to take over those 6 feet and box us in. Overnight, it seemed, my son's struggling plants exploded and took over, well, everything. We could no longer see where one plant started and another ended. It overtook our carrots and encroached on our cantaloupe. Several limbs grew and twisted so far I couldn't successfully wind them back onto poles and proper spaces. Realizing I was in over my head, quite literally, I took to social media with a plea for help. Can you prune tomato plants, or was I destined to be socially distanced from my fruit when they finally turned red? My sister-in-law, whom I consider the person I'm most likely going to find when the zombies come, said yes, I could, and walked me through the process. In mid-August, my son and I trimmed and tied and cajoled branches into order and picked our first cherry tomatoes, born of seed and my son's stubborn determination. We've had to prune twice more since and continue to twist and tie and keep the peace and the space. But the growth hasn't stopped. What I've since learned is we did not, in fact, plant the picture-perfect tomato plants that stay in their cage and stop growing. What we planted was more akin to the never-ending growth cycle of a mid-teen with a bottomless pit and new pants. Except the teen eventually stops. I honestly had no idea. I would love to tell you the variety of plants we ended up with, but my son just reached into the tomato seed pile and picked a few. I know we have two cherry varieties and two bigger normal-sized varieties, and that all four are the variety that will sprout and flower 6 inches every night until the end of time. I wish I did know, however, so as to be able to add that to our garden journal notes and save us amazement and room another year. We did sneak watermelon in at the far end of the box, but I've nearly given up on its producing. I've added another round of spinach and lettuce to carry us into fall, but so far I'm worried they have all become rather afraid of our tomato plants that won't stop and are being shy about growing. I get it. It's an intimidating sight, and one I can firmly blame on the gardening gene skipping a generation, my chartreuse thumb blazing to evergreen with my son. This is Tanya Gibson for Bread and Butter.